Chapter 20. Chapter 20. Life Day. Life Day.
It took Zahara less than a minute to realize that Han Solo, whoever he was one of the most unusual inmates she'd ever encountered. The realization struck her most forcefully when she tried to explain to him what had happened aboard the barge, and how critically he and the Wookiee needed her assistance if they were going to stay alive.
"Whoa, whoa, whoa,"
Han said, waving an impatient hand in her face.
"You're saying everybody on this flying trash can is dead? Except for us?"
He looked at the Wookiee standing next to him, as if to confirm what his ears were telling him.
"Are you buying any of this?"
The Wookiee gave a plaintive, honking growl. Zahara didn't know much Shriwook, but most of what she'd picked up had to do with vocal inflection, and Chewbacca's was incredulity, pure and simple.
"Yeah," Han said. "Me either."
He looked back at Zahara.
"That the best you can do, Doc? You got another tale you want to try out?"
"You'll see for yourself soon enough. The infection, it's some kind of virus, has an estimated mortality rate of 99.7%.
"Sounds like somebody's been getting their statistics from a droid."
Han took a step back, taking his first real look at her and breaking into an appreciative smile.
"Although I must say, Doctor, all things considered, you seem to be in pretty good shape."
Zahara felt her cheeks redden.
"I'm immune."
"Well, I guess we must be too, huh?"
"It's possible, but I doubt it."
"So how come we're still alive?"
"You've been sealed away in solitary. Now that you're out here and exposed, though, I need to inject you with the antivirus."
She took the syringe from her pocket, along with the basic medical kit that she carried with her everywhere.
"This will only take a second. I just need to see your arm and..."
At the appearance of the needle, the Wookiee snarled at her, a noise that went right through Zahara's thoracic cavity, and for the second time she saw the glint of his teeth, the bright white incisors, and caught a whiff of something feral, from either his fur or his breath. She took a step back.
"You need this,"
she said, and turned to Han.
"Both of you do."
Han shook his head.
"Wookiees aren't too big on needles. Neither am I."
"I'm a physician."
"Yeah, well, you might want to work on that bedside manner."
He glanced at the weapon still in her hand.
"Or has blaster point medicine become standard operating procedure for the Empire?"
"This was just a precaution. We can't afford to stand around and discuss this. Too many people have already died."
"Listen, Doc, I..."
Han said, and stopped. Glancing back, following his line of sight, Zahara saw that he was staring at the outstretched leg protruding from around the corner, one of the guards whose bodies she'd stepped over to get here. Han craned his neck further, and she knew that he could see some of the other corpses as well. When he looked back at her, the defiance in his expression had faded, replaced with something else. Not fear, necessarily, but a kind of acute awareness of his surroundings. He looked over at Chewbacca, and the Wookiee sniffed the air and let out a low, restless sound from somewhere deep inside his throat.
"Yeah," Han muttered. "Me too."
And then, begrudgingly, to Zahara.
"I'm not crazy about my options here, Doc."
"Please," she said, holding his gaze. "You need this."
He reached down and pushed up his sleeve. Zahara realized that she wasn't going to be able to hold onto the blaster rifle and treat him at the same time. She set the blaster aside, kicking it out of the cell behind her into the hallway, then took Han's arm, swabbed it, and slipped the needle in. Han winced as she pushed down the plunger.
"You tested this, right?"
"You're actually the first."
Han's eyes went huge.
"What?"
"Relax," Zahara said. "How's your breathing?"
"I'll let you know in a minute," he said, "if I'm not already dead."
Zahara tried not to let the worry show on her face. She'd trusted Waste's analysis of the antivirus implicitly, but that didn't mean there couldn't have been some margin of error along the way. And who knew exactly how it would interact with any individual's unique chemical makeup? And what would it do to a completely different species, a non-human? But the alternative was to allow Chewbacca to become infected, and she wasn't at all sure that the antivirus could make a difference at that point. She turned to the Wookiee.
"Your turn."
Chewbacca put out his arm. Finding a vein on a Wookiee was always a challenge, but she felt one beneath a thickly matted fur, sliding the needle in. He growled, but didn't move.
"There," she said. "Now we can..."
The Wookiee screamed.
The first thing Chewbacca felt was the pain of the young ones. It came at him from everywhere at once, a threnody of wounded voices assailing him from all sides. He didn't know what it meant, except that something bad had happened here aboard the barge, and now it was happening to him too. In a horrible way, he felt as if he were part of it, complicit in these unspeakable crimes because of the injection that the woman had given him. The sickness she'd implanted under his fur, under his skin, was alive and crawling through him. A living gray thing going up his arm to his shoulder to his throat, and the sickness clucked its tongue and whispered, "Yes, you did those things. Yes, you are those things." Had he done it? Had he somehow hurt them? But that couldn't be right. The doctor hadn't poisoned him. She'd injected him with a cure. Then why did it hurt so much? And why did he still hear the young ones screaming? His skull felt like it was filling with fluid, blocking out his sense of smell. But his hearing was keener than ever. Voices were shrieking at him, no longer pleading, but accusing him of unspeakable atrocities. And when he looked down at his hands, he saw that they were dripping with blood, while the rank, salty flavor of their blood was in his mouth. And then the sickness was in him. And the sickness wanted to eat. He snarled louder, lashed out, wanting to make it go away, but it was too deep already, burrowing through his memory, bringing back details he hadn't remembered in nearly 200 years. He heard old Life Day songs from Kashyyyk, saw faces, old Adichuk, Calabao, his beloved Mala. Except their faces were changing now, melting and stretching, mouths hooking into strange, contemptuous grins. His father's eyes lit upon him, saw all the shame he tried to hide. They knew what he was now that the sickness was inside of him, and what the sickness would make him do to the little ones. They knew how he would slaughter them in their cells and feast upon their steaming entrails, shoving them into his mouth without bothering to chew, enslaved by the sickness and its appetite. They saw how the sickness could not be sated, how it wanted to keep on killing and eating until there was nothing left but blood that might be lapped up from the cold durasteel floors. They said, "These are the true songs of Life Day. These songs are eat and kill. Eat and kill." "No, it's not true. It's not." Screaming louder, a deafening roar, at least in his own mind, he felt the oblivion of the sickness coming and was grateful for it. An opportunity to hide, to get away from the things he was experiencing. He did not try to escape. He ran toward it, eagerly. Zahara jumped back, instinctively ducking and flinging both hands up to protect herself. Chewbacca's arm swung out blindly, the syringe still protruding from it, and the needle sailed across the cell like a poorly thrown dart, hitting the wall and disappearing somewhere in the half-light. If she hadn't dropped down when she did, the Wookiee's arm would have crushed her throat.
"Hey, pal, take it easy," Han said, reaching over to him. "Chewie, it's just..."
Chewbacca rounded on him with a full-throated howl, and Han jerked backward, frowned and stared at Zahara.
"What did you do to him?"
"Nothing. He got the same thing you got."
"Maybe it works differently for his species. Did you ever think about that?"
He looked back at Chewbacca, but the Wookiee's expression was completely alien now. Unfriendly, no trace of recognition in his eyes. He seemed confused, frightened, and ready to attack whatever threat he perceived was nearby. The ripe, feral stink that Zahara had caught a whiff of earlier was back, stronger now, almost overwhelming, as if some aggression gland inside his metabolism had started spurting violent hormones through his brain. He was growling steadily now. Then Zahara noticed the swelling. It was already affecting his throat, causing it to balloon up. and what she'd thought were growls had actually become a series of suffocated breaths.
"What is that?"
Han asked.
"What's happening to his neck?"
Zahara didn't answer. She couldn't make coherent sense of her own thoughts, except that somehow she'd managed to find some of the last survivors aboard the barge, only to help the disease do its job even more efficiently. She pulled herself together, flashing through options. Somehow the antivirus had either weakened the Wookiee's immunity to the pathogen, or the sickness itself had become more aggressive in the past few hours, shortening its incubation time from hours to minutes. Either way, Chewbacca fell to his knees with a crash, clasping his arms over his head and rocked back and forth with a diminishing series of horrible, gargling groans. When he lifted his head again, it was with monumental effort, and Zahara saw that the rage was draining away from his face. But this was only a side effect of oxygen debt, his gaze fogging over even as his enormous shoulders sagged forward, giving way to gravity until the entirety of his body slumped face down to the floor. Zahara squatted down.
"Help me roll him over."
"What? Why?"
"Just do it."
Han grabbed Chewbacca's shoulder, and Zahara lifted his hips, tilting the massive bulk of the Wookiee's body and tumbling him onto his back. She put her hand behind his furry head, down beneath his neck and lifted upward.
"Find the syringe."
No way. Han shook his head. "You're not giving him another drop of that stuff."
"You want your friend to live. Find the caulking syringe."
Han took a second to digest this, and then went back into the far corner of the cell, muttering under his breath. Zahara understood that, right now, a huge part of saving the Wookiee's life was just a matter of making Han believe her. If he didn't, if he tried to interfere, there was nothing she could do except make Chewbacca comfortable until he died. Han came back a moment later with the syringe in his hand.
"I hope you..."
Zahara grabbed it from him, squirted out the last of the antivirus, and tilted Chewbacca's head back, palpating the clogged airway. Carefully avoiding the arterial passageways, she slid the empty needle in, felt the pop as it found the pocket of fluid, and pulled the plunger back.
"Droids still can't do this," she thought. "There's not a droid in the world that would try this. And probably for good reason."
Pinkish-gray liquid began to fill the barrel of the syringe. Han didn't say anything, but she could hear the dry click as he swallowed hard. She emptied the syringe, put it back in, and tapped the fluid again. After three full syringes, the swelling began to go down. The screaming in Chewie's head got louder.
"What are the true songs of Life Day?"
"I am inside you," the sickness whispered, "and you will sing the songs as I teach them, and those songs are to kill and to eat, and you will sing them while I am still inside you, while I am still hungry, and I am always hungry, and you will sing my songs."
"Yes," Chewbacca told it, his thoughts moving in the oddly formal way they sometimes did when he was thinking of things very seriously. "Yes, you are inside of me. I breathed you in when the prison door was opened, just like Han breathed you in, and you made him cough and start choking. But then the doctor gave us the medicine." The sickness screamed at him and raged, but he didn't hear it anymore. He felt the pressure loosening from his chest. He was breathing again, the stricture in his throat abating, allowing for the first tentative passage of air. Vision was clearing too, becoming stable, allowing him to see Han and the doctor standing over him, their faces worried.
"Those are the true songs of Life Day."
The strength coming back through him now was the strength of his family and homeworld. He sat up but did not try his voice. He didn't trust it yet. He looked down at his hands. They were clean. Relief sagged through him, and it was like coming home to faces that recognized him and welcomed him in. There was no more screaming now. Inside the house where he had been born, someone was playing music.
"Easy."
Zahara broke open a packet of bandages and adhesive and tried as best she could to dress the tiny pinhole incision she'd left on his throat. She couldn't see through all the fur, but her fingers knew instinctively where it was.
"We'll have to clean that up as soon as we can. How do you feel?"
He gave a hoarse cry, then a louder one.
"You okay, pal?"
Han asked. And when Chewie gave a quick bark of acknowledgement, he turned to Zahara.
"Lady, you just got really lucky."
"Hopefully we all did," she said. "If that antivirus works, you should both be protected."
They helped Chewbacca to his feet, a process that fully required both of their strengths. Han watched him closely, preparing for relapse, but the Wookiee seemed steady enough once he was standing up.
"Think you can travel, buddy?" Han asked.
Chewie barked out another growl.
"Okay, all right," Han said. "Forget I asked."
"The turbo lifts back this way," Zahara said, pointing around the corner. "We can go back through. Just be careful you don't trip over the..."
They all stopped.
"What happened to the bodies?" Han asked. "The dead guards?"
Zahara blinked down at the floor where the corpses of the prison guards had been sprawled out. They'd all seen them. But now they were gone.
"Maybe they weren't dead?" Han said doubtfully.
"I examined them."
"So, somebody came and moved them. I don't know, maintenance droids or something."
He looked at her.
"Is there a reason we're still standing here discussing this?"
Zahara thought about it. She wondered if maybe the 2-1-B had come down to meet her and moved the corpses, but that just didn't make sense. The blasters were gone too, she realized, including the ones she'd just kicked out of the room. Somewhere in the semi-darkness, she thought she heard something creak, some random self-activating servo coming to life inside the walls. And she jumped, startled. Suddenly, she realized that Han was right. They had to get out of here. Not soon, but now.
"The turbo lifts over this way," she said.
Han and Chewie followed her in, the doors closing as they glided upward.
"Where are we going?"
"Medbay. I've got to talk to Waste."
"Who's Waste?"
"My surgical droid."
"And you call him Waste? Like a waste of space?"
"Waste of space, waste of programming."
She shrugged, relaxing a little now that they were out of the damp, shadow-crawling lower corridor.
"I started it as a joke, and it just kind of stuck."
"He doesn't mind?"
"He thinks it's a term of endearment," she said,
and upon saying so, realized it was true. Han grunted as the lift reached the infirmary level and stopped. Zahara remembered the corridor vividly. How it had been littered with bloated corpses of guards and stormtroopers who had died waiting to get into medbay. Dozens of them, sometimes stuck to one another with the fluid they'd been heaving up when they finally collapsed. The smell would have intensified too, she knew. She expected Han would say something, maybe cover his mouth and stand there a moment taking it all in, the way that she had when she'd first laid eyes on it. The turbo lift stopped, and the doors slid open on the hallway. Zahara braced herself with a shock, and looking out, felt a different kind of shock go through her, quick and jolting, making her legs feel heavy and weak at the same time. All the bodies were gone.